Well, we'll go back to the second chapter of Acts. The title of the message today is Tongues, and we'll sure need to pray before we start in on this. Lord, thank you for being our God. Thank you for teaching us and bringing us along, having so much patience with us. I think about Ephesians chapter 2 and explaining about how we used to be living in lust and in sin, like those bad folks around us. And your scripture says, but God. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that you stepped in and interrupted our lives and gave us Jesus Christ to save us and become your children. Now, Lord, thank you for teaching us. We pray that you continue to do that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You know, in a subject like this that has had so much controversy, I don't have a seminary course that taught me how to tell you a story to explain all of this to you. I don't have that. But I tell you what I got what Paul had. And Paul said in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, I gave you that which I first also received. So I can tell you what I got. And that's the way it's going to have to be this morning, because it's the best way I know to say it. It says in chapter 2 of Acts, in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now it's talking about the disciples here. They were all in one place with one accord. Now Pentecost occurred 50 days after Passover. Pentecost, the name Pentecost comes from the Greek language of 50 days is what it meant in the Latin and the Greek. It was the feast of the harvest for the Jews, first fruits. It was their harvest season was in early summer because their year started the last of March and the first of April. So whenever their crops came in was right at the first of summer, just 50 days after New Year. And that's when they were all together and all of one accord. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, we've heard about Pentecost, and we know that 3,000 people were saved that day, right? This wasn't it. Because it wasn't 3,000 people could you get in the house, in one room at least. So this happened to the disciples. They were together in one accord, in one room, in one house. I don't know how many there were. They said in all it was 120, you know, but apparently they weren't all there. Because they just didn't build those bigger houses back in those days. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each one of them. Now look, you got a bunch of disciples that are all believers in Jesus Christ. They've got that. They've seen that. And even Peter, there at the end, has been saved. and they're all sitting in the house together, and they're all thinking alike, and they're all believing alike, and all of a sudden, it says, a sound from heaven as of a mighty wind. Now somebody said, well, did it sound like a wind? And another fellow said one time, which is what I believe about it, well, if it wasn't a wind, that's what it sounded like to us. That's what he had to come up with. Somebody asked one time, is hell a real lake of fire? And another fellow said, well, if it's not, that's the closest to it that we could understand what it is. That's the reason they call it that. So, was it a rushing wind? I don't know. You hear these folks talk about tornadoes, sound like a freight train. Was it a freight train? No, it's a tornado. But that's what it sounded like. So, that had to be, you know, there's so many of these descriptions in the Bible that are like the closest thing we could come to understand what it is. And it sounded like a mighty wind. And it came from heaven, the Bible says. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared unto them, they saw these cloven, that's split, you know, like pig's foot, a cow's foot. They don't have a foot like a horse. They got a cloven foot. It's split down the middle. Well, this was split tongues. I don't know. Said it sat on each one of them. Split tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, understand the truth about this. The Bible is telling us the truth. They spoke as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. That's very important, because there's been a lot of claims about that since. But you speak in these kind of tongues when the Holy Spirit tells you to. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, Luke stopped telling about that particular instant, and he started telling us about something else. At the time, there were Jews living in Jerusalem from all over the world. Out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, what was noised abroad? Jerusalem wasn't that big a place in those days, guys, and gossip went across town pretty quick. And the word got around to all these other people that are living in Jerusalem what happened to the disciples, how many ever of them there were. And they talking about it. They gossiping about it. They spreading it to each other. What do you think went on? Well, I don't know, but I mean, I'm just telling you what I heard. And when this was noised abroad or heard in town, the multitude came together and they were confounded. They were confused because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now listen to me. What they were doing is speaking in other languages. This wasn't some kind of mumbo jumbo. I mean, the guy from Africa heard them speak African, and the guy from Greece heard them speak Latin. See what I'm saying? They were talking languages. And each man from all over the world heard these guys speaking in his language, his home language, the language that he learned when he was a child. And they were amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Aren't they all from that little country down there? Shouldn't they all be speaking the same language? What's going on here? Now, I believe that's the reason God did this, because they were amazed. Remember, people, there were 200 messiahs that came. They'd been looking for a messiah for a while, the Jews had. They thought the messiah was going to come, take over Jerusalem, take Israel back from the Romans, and set up himself a kingship over the country. And they would all be Jews, so that he would be a Jew, and they would take special treatment. That's what the thing was looking for. And when they heard this, they couldn't understand what was going on. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? With all the 200 messiahs that came calling themselves a messiah in those days, God had to show them that one of them was his. I sent this one. And that's what he did. The rest of them had wound up dead just like Jesus did. But this wasn't going on. Wasn't anybody talking in languages they didn't know. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. There were people who weren't born a Jew who had joined the Jewish faith, proselytes. But then there was Jews from Rome too. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wondrous works of God. There was a particular subject they were talking about too. It was about the works of God. They were being evangelized. They were being converted. They were being witnessed to in languages that they brought with them by a bunch of guys who were born down in the country, who had no chance to know 10 or 12 languages. And it flabbergasted all of them, which is what God wanted it to do. Because tongues wound up to be what was known as a sign gift from God. Something that would show people, this is what I'm talking about. This is me, folks, God said. I can do this kind of stuff. Nobody else can. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. You know, throughout this stuff, that God has done with us, his people down here, there's always been a crowd that were amazed at Jesus, that caught on to it. Them that hath an ear, let them hear. But what we don't often realize is God's the one that gave them an ear. So he's still in control. He makes people understand and keeps people from understanding. That's the reason Jesus taught in parables. He said, so some of them will understand and some of them won't. There was always been a crowd that were amazed, and there was always a bunch of folks who said they ain't nothing but a bunch of drunks. It's the same way now, folks. There are people around you that are Jesus people, and you probably spend a lot of your time with people who are born again just like you. But there are other people around. If you don't see them at home, turn on your TV. They're on there every morning. And they don't recognize anything Jesus has done. They don't recognize anything that God has done. They even try to show you how godly they are to impress you, because they want your vote. That's not a good reason to go after Jesus, folks. Now let me tell you something else. As the Spirit gave them utterance, there is among people today who speak in tongues this thing they call a prayer language. Maybe some of you in studying about this has heard about it. It's a language, here again, another mumbo jumbo that nobody understands, that they say that is heard and understood in heaven. Well, in Romans chapter 8, they speak in that same prayer language. It is the language between Jesus and the Holy Spirit that's in us. But it cannot be uttered. Nobody else can talk it, according to my Bible. So I don't particularly believe in a prayer language. Because the Bible says that there is a prayer language, but nobody can talk it. Nobody but Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So that is one thing that I have been able to find that is in error. One thing for sure. They were heard everywhere. And the multitude came together and were confounded or confused. But in the meantime, they were amazed too, because they didn't know what was going on. For everybody heard them in his own home language. Let me say this now. According to the scriptures, if you will study it extensively, the people who heard the disciples didn't necessarily speak in other people's languages. It was just the disciples. Now later on, there were some of them tried it. But at the time, the disciples were the ones who were doing the speaking in other languages, in tongues, in other words. The 3,000 who were saved, it doesn't say they did. It was the disciples. In verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear we every man in our own tongue. Let me give you a picture of this sitting. For the first time in history, God had introduced the church to people. The church. It wasn't a temple. When Jesus cleaned the temple out, God quit living in the temple. He says in the chapter 12 of Romans that God now lives in us. We are his temple. But let me tell you this. My body is a temple of God because the Holy Spirit lives in there. One reason, not because I go to this church or that church or what I do with Jesus, is because the Holy Spirit's in here. That is the gift. That is the sign that you are born again because you have the Holy Spirit inside. That is the thing that is so important about this whole subject. It's all about the Holy Spirit. Nobody can speak in tongues without the Holy Spirit. Nobody. They couldn't then, and they can't now. The Bible in those days was the Old Testament. There weren't many of them around. The only ones that were, the priests copied from each other, and it was kept in the temple. And the priest got up on Saturday and read from the Bible. But nobody but a Jew could get in. A Jewish male could get in there. The women couldn't go in there. The Gentiles couldn't go in there. So the average man walking the street of Palestine in those days had no religious experience whatsoever unless he had been worshiping idols. And you didn't do that in Jerusalem because the Jews would have you put to death if you did. It was in other places where they did that. So here's a bunch of people. Think about it for a minute. They're just common kind of people. They got problems like everybody else. They see the Jews praying to God to help them out. They can't pray to God because God won't listen to them. You remember when the Samaritan woman said to Jesus, "We don't worship on your mountain, we worship on our mountain." And Jesus said, "I can't tell you about this because you do not give the children's food to dogs." Jesus said that to a woman now, a Samaritan woman. And you know what she said? "Yeah, but even the dogs get the crumbs that the children drop." And he said, "Woman, your faith have made you whole." And she got saved. Because when Jesus came, he came to the Jews, not to you and me. He came to Jews. And he wouldn't even tell the Samaritan woman about the gospel of him, that he was offering everybody else, because she wasn't a Jew. Then after his death, then the disciples got out, and some of them were given special missions projects that only involved Gentiles, or for the most part. That's when it got to spread to us. All the Jews wouldn't pay attention to Jesus, so they opened the door to everybody. And that's the only way you and I got to be born again believers, is because the Jews wouldn't take it. So here's these people. All of a sudden, something has happened. This man came to town riding on a donkey, had the gospel that he was offering to people, and people were talking about it, and they all threw palm fronds. They had a big to-do because he came to town. And then they heard that one night that a bunch of folks had got together and killed him. Now, this average guy walking the street, what does he know about it? He wasn't there. Because the people that was in Pilate's court were temple employees rounded up by the priests. It wasn't the people on the streets. The people on the streets didn't even know Jesus had been crucified. But they begin to hear this stuff. And then they heard about it. And then all of a sudden this comes along. The same people that were following Jesus are talking in a language that other people can understand. Can you see how this would affect the average man on the street? That maybe there's something to this. But God, through all of this, is trying to make the fact that he has come to earth evident to everybody. And he does it with these miracles and these sign gifts and whatever. And once Jesus is gone, these guys, some of them have the power to do miracles and to pull demons out of people. But the biggest issue of the whole thing is when they heard that Jesus was raised on the third day, they figured out, we've been knowing all this time that Satan kills people. But he couldn't kill Jesus. But wait a minute now, the soldier said he could. That they stole his body, that he didn't really rise. So as you see, what kind of a turmoil they're all in. And here comes this. The miracles confirmed that the whole thing about the new church that God has introduced into the earth with Jesus Christ was confirmed. The truth was confirmed about it. And he's moving people in the Holy Spirit to believe it. At the time of Pentecost, the individual believers were baptized with the Holy Spirit. a unified spiritual organism was introduced into the world called the church. That's you and me, guys. That's what we're doing today. We're celebrating church. Because of the emphasis on the Holy Spirit, this age at that time has been called the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is front and center. Jesus is gone now. He said, I'm going, but I'm going to leave you something that's greater than I am. And that was the Holy Spirit. God took Jews and Gentiles to be a people for His name. Let me remind you of something. Please. I've said before, and I've tried to explain it all along, we don't know who we are. You're not just churchgoers, folks. You are people that God has chosen for His own name. You're so special. In verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11. Now here's the 3,000. But Peter, at some time or another, I don't know how many days it was since this other had happened, but it had been long enough for the word to get across Jerusalem and all these other people hearing about what happened. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these men are not drunks, as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Now, he's starting to quote from the book of Joel that this would happen. But he said in the last days. Well, I'm sure they thought it was the last days, just like we're thinking now. 2,000 years later, we think we're in the last days. They evidently thought about it then. Because this that has happened was prophesied in the book of Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Prophesy is the speaking aloud with inspiration from heaven. Same definition as preaching. So what he's saying here is your men and your women are going to preach. That's one reason I believe that the gift of preaching, the spiritual gift of preaching, is also given to women. They can't be in authority over the men, nor can they teach a man. But they can have the gift of preaching, because I've known one or two that did. And they were some powerful speakers. But the ones that I knew, when a man walked in a room, they'd hush. And they wouldn't say another word till a man got out of the room. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of trouble. Hadn't happened yet. Still hadn't happened yet. Till the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. The day of the Lord is when Jesus comes back. The rapture, we call it. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the message that Peter gave those people that are wondering what in the world is going on. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the reason I've never seen a reason to go to a class on witnessing. If you got it, you know what happened, and you can tell somebody else what happened. And the witness to other people is simply that I tell them what happened to me just exactly like it happened. And God will take that from there and through His Holy Spirit will bring them to salvation. Now this happened. Peter stood up 53 days after cockcrow. You remember that? When he denied Christ? Let me tell you about that for just a second, just a little side thing. It's not that important, really. But Jesus said, you will deny me three times before cockcrow. Now, there was a Roman watch called cockcrow. It was between 12 and 3 o'clock in the morning. So, it's not plain, and scholars still hadn't figured it out yet, whether Jesus was saying, you will deny me before that watch, that Roman watch that's called cockcrow, or whether a rooster actually crowed. But the thing that throws us all off was in Mark, when it says, you will deny me before the rooster crows twice. But they still say that they don't know whether he was talking about the time cockcrow or a particular rooster crowing where they all could hear it. And so I don't know either. Mark chapter 14, if you wanted to look in there at some time. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the greatest message of what he's saying. Now, if you will please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the first scriptures concerning the spiritual gift of tongues. He says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. I want you to know about this, he said. You know that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. Before Jesus came, before God established the church, the only thing you had religious was idol worship. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. The ones that said he was drunk, they didn't have the Spirit. That's what he says here. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit again here is confirmed. He is the one that has the say-so about all of this. Now there are diversities of gifts with the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, different way to use it, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, that which you can see that the Holy Spirit does, is given to every man to profit withal. Now, something you need to understand about the gifts of the Spirit. There is one given to every person, at least one, at salvation. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved, you get one gift at least. There are some gifts that are temporary, like they were in the Old Testament. They came on people in the Old Testament. But John the Baptist is one of the only ones that had the Holy Spirit from the time he was born. For to one, verse 8, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse or various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of the tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You cannot get the gift of tongues unless the Spirit gives it to you. You can't go pray for it. You can't wish for it. But the same way with the rest of the Spirit. You can't, the gifts of the Spirit, you can't wish and pray for them either. They are assigned to you according to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Now let me explain this. It says in verse 10, to another diverse kinds of tongues, or various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. There's two gifts here, Paul says. There wasn't but one gift at Pentecost, the gift of tongues. There was no need for interpreters at Pentecost because the people understood everything the guy said. But Paul, 26 or 7 years later, writing his first letter to the church at Corinth, because they had heard about the speaking in tongues that was done at Pentecost, they thought because they were now born again believers, they were supposed to get into tongues. And they did, and it's the biggest mess you ever seen in your life. And this whole thing about spiritual gifts and about tongues was done by Paul to try to straighten out the mess they were in. Let me say this. I can't, like I said before, I got to give you what I got, because that's all I got. Because so much of, I have been in 5-day seminars on the gift of tongues. 3 times I've had experts explain to me all this kind of stuff. Each time they say that the gift of tongues is no longer alive. Okay, got no problem with that. I went up to each one of the people who spoke, who taught the seminar. At the end of the seminar, I waited to like say everything they said about the fact that there's no such thing as tongues anymore. And I asked them, would you show me in the Bible, please, where there's no more tongue? Where it says there's no more tongue? Couldn't have one of them do it. They just said it wasn't. And they say, can't you believe what we say? Well, I'm looking at my Bible. They had tongues. Now, the Corinthians made a mess out of it, but I'm wanting to know what's going on. Well, aren't you a Baptist? Well, yeah, I was raised a Baptist. Well, you can't believe in tongues if you're a Baptist. Okay, but my Bible talks about it. Well, you see, I found out you can't believe in tongues if you're a Methodist or Presbyterian or some of these others. You got to be a Pentecostal to believe in tongues, according to what everybody says. I started out trying to be a good little Baptist boy and then a good Baptist man. And then I wound up trying to be a good, obedient servant of Jesus Christ. As a young man in my early 20s, I saw a girl up to Dairy Delight up in town. She's cute. And she was even riding in a convertible with another girl. I mean, you know, you got to ask a girl like that out. I met her, and I asked her out. The only way you'd go with a girl like that from another town, if they didn't know you, her folks didn't know you, was to go to church with her on Sunday night. Well, I mean, you know, you can come to church on Sunday night, you can go with me if you want to. Okay, so I showed up at church. She gave me directions. It was that little brick building behind the city hall in Alabaster. It's a community center now or something, a part of the city thing. You've seen it. If you go down by around the thrift store, it's right there on the left, right before we turn and go across the railroad track. Those folks scared this little boy to death. I've never seen anything like that in my whole life. And I talked with her about it. I talked with her daddy about it. I talked with her mother about it. They were good people. And they believed that. So now, what's going on? So it was always a question in my mind. Like I said, what's going on? That's something people talk about. Some people do it. Some people don't do it. Some people are good folks that do it. Some people are not good folks that do it. But then I'd had folks in my church too. They was in church every Sunday. You'd think they were good folks, but on Monday if you tried to buy a used car from them, they'd beat you every way in the world to cook. So you see what's happening to this guy's, this born-again believer's mind about tongues. Look over to page in chapter 14. In verse 39. Well, let's start at verse 36. What? Came the word of God but from you? Or came it unto you only? Are you the only one that knows? Some folks talk like they was the only ones that knew. Who do you believe? You talk about good folks and bad folks and whatever. Who do you believe? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, Paul says, are the commandments of the Lord. Do I believe that? Yes, because I'd already committed myself to believe every word in the Bible. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Well, hey, you know, 20, 21 years old, I didn't want to be ignorant. Didn't want folks thinking I was ignorant. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And then Paul says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, to preach, and forbid not to speak with tongues. So what does it say? Paul says the commandment from God is that I am not to teach people not to speak in tongues. I'm not to teach people that it's no longer alive, because I don't know whether it is or not. I know this, God has never called me to speak in tongues, and until He does, I'm not supposed to. I'm not going to go out here and join the church to try to learn how. Because I figure if the Holy Spirit showed them how, He'll show me. And just to be honest with you, there's been so many times in my spiritual life when God had to grab me by the hair of the head, throw me on the ground, put His foot on my neck, and say, boy, you need to do this. Yes, sir. I've had friends that tried to get me to speak in tongues because I knew something about the Bible. And I finally would tell them, well, good people, Lord. Folks, let me tell you something. If God wants me to do it, He can catch me and make me do it. But I'm not going to do it until He does. And I'm 77 and a half, near 78, and I've never done it. I don't know whether I'll do it next year, next week, tomorrow, or whatever. But I've never done it, but I am not supposed to tell people that it's no longer alive because Paul told me I'm not supposed to. Let all things be done decently and in order. That is the next thing that Paul says. So I gather from that apparently the church at Corinth was doing things indecently and in order. Unorderly. It was a mess, and Paul's trying to straighten it out. Now, I'll say this to you. In the 50-something years that I've lived as a Christian since I went to that first church and saw what was going on, I have been taught a lot of things about from a lot of people about other people that are different than me. I've been taught how the Mormons believe, and I've been told the Mormons are trying to lay you low. They're trying to lay a trap for you. And I say, no, I talked to them. They're not trying to lay a trap for me. They've got something I don't have, and they're trying to share it with me so I'll be as good as they are. I've never run a Jehovah's Witness off my front porch. They're different. But I wanted to talk to them and find out what they were all about. And I've talked with a lot of people who are involved in the tongues movement. And the thing that I have come to in all of this right here, Jesus did it then for that time to confirm the new church and what was real and what wasn't real. I have not seen it. Let me say this. The Bible has more regulations on tongues. It's been 2.5 chapters. It's telling you how to exactly do tongues. And not one time have I ever seen it done that way. Not one time. Of all the people I've been to, all the people I've talked to, all the people that I used to have a hairdresser that cut my hair. There's all the time talking about her kids learning how to speak in tongues. I've had a lot of information on the subject, but I have never heard one time in my whole life that people were doing it the way the Bible says it's supposed to be done. Because of that, I don't believe it's real. I believe it was real then. I don't believe it's real now. I have heard all kinds of stories, confirmed stories about people who really, I mean, they fainted in the spirit and all this kind of stuff. And I have talked to doctors who told me this is the way that happens. So I don't feel like the Lord thinks that he needs this gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues nowadays to confirm the existence of his church. He apparently did then, and I mean, he wowed those folk. You just don't do what they did without amazing people and confusing people and confounding people. So where am I at this point in my life? I've never seen it. Never seen it done right. All the places I've seen it done, it wasn't done right. Wasn't done according to the Bible. And I believe if you're going to do it and be real and be the Holy Spirit behind it, you got to do it like the Bible said. And Paul tells me, don't preach that it's no longer existing. So he didn't give me any reason why he said that. He just said, don't do it, so I won't. Personally, I very seriously doubt that it is a tool that God still uses. I've been told, but you don't understand. The gift of tongues present day is when a missionary is called to the field and he goes to language school and he can just learn to speak a different language just in a few days. That's not what it says. But it says today that any time that somebody, and I've had this happen to me as I was speaking, people stand up and start speaking in tongues. And I say, hold on, hold on, hold on. Scared me to death. Is there an interpreter in the room? Nobody let me know the interpreter. Lady, you're out of order. And she sat down. There's another thing. It says that women cannot speak in tongues in the church. They're not allowed to by God. Now, most folks who are in the tongue that I've asked about that have told me if the ladies quit speaking in tongues, tongues movement would stop in 2 weeks. Because it's all about women speaking in church in tongues. So, I don't believe it's real anymore. But I'm not going to tell folks it's not because I really don't know. Because God is liable to decide, reading Paul told us this, that he might decide to start that back up in a little bit. I don't know. But I'm not supposed to tell you that there is no such thing anymore. And I have been told that at least 1,000 times. I've been taught that. But at this point, because of what Paul said right here, I can't say that it's no longer viable. All of us have known some people, probably in our family, who were involved in the tongues movement, who were very serious about that. And they'll try to convince you of it. I'm not convinced. If the Holy Spirit is behind it, it'll be biblical. If it happens again and the Holy Spirit's behind it, it'll be biblical. And if God wants me to do it, He can grab me and throw me down and say, do it. And I've learned by experience, I'll probably do it. But I want to be obedient to Him. I don't want to do it because it's the fad. I don't want to do it because some people are doing it. I don't want to do it to make me look more spiritual than you. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So, as I said, I took on teaching Acts and what comes next. And that's what came next. So that's where I am. I've known some very good people who were involved in it. And I've known some people, just like the people that I know in my churches, that weren't too high caliber too. So I don't think it's any sign that we're any better than each other because we do it. I said I'd say what's happened to me because that's the biggest thing I can give you. And I'm looking at you telling you I'm honest about it. And that's what I say. I'd be scared to death to tell you there was no such thing because Paul said so. Let's pray. Father, if it's necessary, teach us. If we need to know about this, show us. If we are a different opinion, you say you will bring us into the truth, so let us know the truth. It happened at a time, and some folks are trying to say it happens now. So you take each one of us with your Holy Spirit that indwells us and teach us the truth about it. And then each person may have a testimony like I do of what they've been through to see if it's real or not, if it's actually the truth. So Lord, I thank you for Jesus who said it was for this reason that he came to the earth to stand testimony for the truth. And I believe he has given me the truth about it. So, Lord, I ask you, show us all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.